Well, Dr. Nikki Goldstein, she was on the show. No doubt she'll get a run in this podcast. We talked all things from sex robots to real women and men and male robots and mannequins and all sorts. I mean, anything with a face was pretty much on the agenda at some point during me and the sexologist's chat. Also, the curious case of the condom conundrum. Oh, yeah, plenty of people. Plenty of wannabe sleuthers out there. A couple of wild cards as well. Now, we got somewhat to the bottom of the curious case of the condom conundrum. And how quickly did you heal after giving birth? I mean, it was the answer I just needed clarification on. Having only been given birth to once and never actually given birth myself or having a partner who's given birth to any of my brethren, there were plenty of questions that needed to be answered. A woman managed to give birth and get back to the wedding within 5 hours. What a remarkable turnaround. Hear that and enjoy the podcast.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Sex.
Let's have sex.
I had sex with her.
And life.
I'm gonna live my life.
With Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Yeah, look, sex and life is one of my favourite things to talk about during the week because, look, I love life. I just love life. And I don't mind a bit of sex either. I like treating myself for some sex from time to time, Dr. Nikki. And dare I say, you do the same.
I'd like to know, though, you know, between the two of us, who likes sex more and who likes life more?
Well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it, to like sort of like tee up our brains with a couple of those electrodes and like see during a session who's releasing that much dopamine and then just who's getting that slow drip serotonin release throughout the week, just content with life. Dare I say you'd flog me at life and I'd flog you at sex.
I don't know about that. I think people look at me and think, well, I know you're a sexologist, but you're also a girl. And but I'm dirty, like in terms of my mind. Like I'm always that person that just has the most inappropriate thought or says the most inappropriate thing or, yeah. I mean, it would make sense as to why I'm in this profession anyway.
Yeah, well, it would also make sense that I've got a small loan out from the bank to go to Thailand in 2 weeks and that's how I'm spending my 2 weeks off.
Oh, okay. Next.
No prizes for guessing what I'm doing there. Enjoying sex
exactly.
Much more than life in Pattaya.
Next subject, please.
Get around me! Hey, conversations with sex robots. So you went to Sexpo over the weekend, and I know you've even been to a sex robot factory before, and I got to meet the lovely Harmony over the weekend. Very lifelike, supple skin, ass to die for. But she's not a real woman, she's a robot.
Yeah, I went out to the factory in San Diego earlier in the year because I was curious as to whether we would be able to replace women with sex robots. Because it's quite a scary thing when you start to see that she can interact and she can blink and talk and pretty much that's about it for now. But you start to get this sense of, are we going to be able to replace women, if not even human beings, to have sex with? So, you know, after spending some time with her and getting an understanding about how the artificial intelligence works, I don't think at this point we could really be replacing a human being with a robot, but you can very much see how you can form a connection and intimacy with a robot that has artificial intelligence. And that's where it starts to get interesting, because let's compare, say, a sex robot to Siri and Alexa. Why is it that we have this artificial technology in our lives that has to have a female name and a personality? As humans, we long for that connection. So I actually think it's only natural that we've taken that next step from the real dolls, which is the dolls that don't have the artificial intelligence in it and it just look like a human being, and have started to put these mechanisms in these dolls that they can interact with you.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I agree that we long for like human connection and interaction and all that kind of thing. But I feel no strings attached sex is on the rise, and more people are sort of realizing that maybe the two things don't have to be combined. And what I was surprised about in the presence of Harmony, the sex robot at Sexpo, was the amount of people that were almost like scared to go up to it. And I can only imagine that they were scared to go up to it because it actually seemed quite real. It was quite shocking how lifelike she looked. It was quite shocking how real a lot of her features were. And lucky that I'm a go-getter who wears my heart on my sleeve. And I was like, well, I need to test out these boobs. Like, let's see how supple the nips are. I
mean, you didn't drag her behind somewhere and give her a go.
Well, I thought I could, but the man was there and he was watching me like a hawk. But my point point is that I think sex can sometimes be a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable when you don't have to have those social repercussions and those awkward discussions and interactions around your serious, serious kinks. There's definitely a place for love and intimacy and solid romance, but when it comes to just your six sordid things that you like to do in the privacy of your own bedroom, that's where I think this robot may have a place. I'm afraid that I'll have a family of eight robots and die single and lonely with eight robots vibrating away by my bed, and then the police come in, some sort of weird CSI scene, and they have to shut them all off before they remove my body.
But I do think with the sex robots and the no strings attached sex, if it was just about no strings attached sex, then the money that you would spend on the sex robot, go and spend the money in a brothel, because that's no strings attached sex. The sex robot offers a little bit more. You know, the sex robot remembers your favorite food, what you do for a living, what you like, how you interact, so it can interact back with you. So I actually think it's beyond sex, because if it was just sex that we were interested in, then you would either be spending the money that it costs you for these dolls at a brothel, or you would be spending the money on a real doll, which is a lot cheaper. If you just wanted to have sex and didn't want someone to talk back to you, the option is there. The fact now that we have this AI technology, that's where it starts to become interesting, because it's that connection and intimacy that we've brought into the mix. Now, there are some people that want connection and intimacy with a doll, like, you know, looks like a human being. But I also think it starts to tell us a little bit more about how we work as sexual human beings. Now, for a lot of people, especially for a lot of men, they want to say that it's no strings attached, all those kind of things. But what actually makes enjoyable sex is when you have some form of an interaction and intimacy. Now, you don't have to worry with the robot that she's going to start asking you when you're going on a next date, talking about kids, living together and all those things, because that's what we mistake intimacy for. That, oh my God, she's going to be trapping me into a relationship. But I think we need to be honest with the fact that it feels nice to have a connection when you're having sex. When you talk about no strings attached, I feel like it's the connection that should be no strings attached sometimes. Can we just experience what it's like to connect with someone else, feel intimate with them, but does that necessarily have to go on into a relationship? Mm. We don't have that fear with a robot, because we think, well, I have some sort of a relationship with a robot, but it's a robot.
That's, yeah, I mean, we've definitely got two conflicting points of view, because I reckon that the prostitutes and the brothel workers, those are the women I'm most intimidated by. It goes sex robots, normal women, prostitutes. That's the level of intimidation I got. It took me about 4.5 days to work up the courage to go into one of those red rooms in Amsterdam. It was crazy.
Why are you so intimidated by a prostitute?
I don't know.
Have you been watching some crazy movie where, like, the prostitute goes and kills everyone?
No. Is that not normal? Producer Felix, are you listening out there? Nod your head. Are you more intimidated by prostitutes or a normal woman? He says it's 50-50. He views them all the same. Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's an issue that I'm slowly learning on the air. I mean, this is good therapy for me.
Okay, I'm going to scare you one even more level. So I think the Bunny Ranch in America, I feel like it's that brothel that now actually has sex robots in the brothel.
Well, good. Finally, I might have the courage to enter a brothel. Yeah, good. Yeah. That's what we need. More robots in the brothel.
You just want to know that they've really washed it down and cleaned it out. I want to know how that works, because I have seen the vaginas that the robots have, and there's like a slit in between their legs, and it's like a sleeve. So it's like a fleshlight that you put in. Yeah. So does that mean that everybody comes with their own sleeve, and you each use a sleeve, and then you could take it back to use that doll again?
I don't know.
I want to know the logistics.
Yeah.
I want to know how this works.
I'm not a germs man, though. I think that's the biggest conspiracy. I eat beef hot pots whilst doing a shit in a public toilet, and that's not a joke. I don't care for germs. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me whether someone else has used that before. As long as they give it a little wipe down with some wet wipes, that's
exactly
all fine.
What I needed to know tonight.
I liked the subtleties and the intricacies of the feminine body in general. I'm an admirer of the female body. I like that the robots replicate that within quite a realistic sphere of that. I didn't like how the robot was talking and blinking. Not because I don't like women talking and blinking at me, but because I felt that that wasn't on par with how realistic a real woman would blink and talk. That was kind of like then what made me feel like I was having sex with a supreme mannequin again. Anyway, it's a great discussion. One of our most civilized. Can you stick around, Dr. Nikki Goldstein, the sexologist? Because I'd like to talk about the real world next. I'm back on the apps. I'm back on the dating apps.
Sure can.
But I've got a bone to pick with the women that I matched with over the weekend.
Or a boner.
No. Well, one of them. One of them. Yeah. Wakey wakey, it's Danny Lakey around the country, still with our favourite sexologist, Nikki Goldstein. You can check out her podcast, Sex and Life, at podcastone.com.au. I'm back on the apps, Dr. Nikki Goldstein. Plenty of Fish, Bumble and Tinder. Those are my three big ones. And I've been running my lines, updating my photos, all that kind of thing. And I'm a firm believer that I undersell on the app and oversell in real life. I'll purposely won't pick my hottest photos, just so I know that if they're swiping right and they're into a 4 out of 10 two-dimensional Danny, that they'll be into the 3D 6.5 out of 10 dimensional Danny. And that's the thing that I'd like to say, because I feel both of the women that I took time out of my busy weekend to meet up with were almost catfishing me, because they looked nothing like their photos. And I'm not just talking like a little bit of makeup. I'm talking like they're putting photos on from like 4 years ago and like four dress sizes skinnier than they actually were, which sounds harsh, but at the end of the day, it's two people, it's people's personal time, and it's almost that they're advertising something that's not actually there. And I just wonder, is that a realistic way to feel? I feel a little ripped off.
I think realistic, but it's more about the deceit. So just hearing you, I know a lot of people would think, oh, he's superficial, he wants a girl that's skinnier and prettier. Okay, that might be true because we are talking about you, but it's more about the fact I'm singing your praises here.
Yeah, no, you're on the money,
we're honest. Yeah. But it's more about the fact that someone has been deceitful. And who wants to start even dating someone if we think they have this tendency to lie to us? Now, I remember when I was dating on the apps and I met a guy who his photo looked really great. He looked buff. And I reckon it was probably 10 years the photo was taken before. He was a little bit older than me. We'd spoken on the phone, but his photo, he looked quite young and attractive. So I thought, okay, I'll go for a drink. It was the most awkward date, but the entire time I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, what else are you not telling me?
Yeah.
If you've pretended to look like someone else, and this photo was very different to the way this guy looked, you just get that uneasy feeling in your stomach, like, well, is this your even name? What? How old are you? Have you lied about your age too? I just don't think it's a good way to start dating someone. And if you are creating a dating profile, be really mindful of that and be honest with exactly what you look like and who you are. Because if you do lie, someone's going to get pissed off and potentially might not call you again, like we've just seen with you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not just a male or a female thing. Like, there are a lot of people posing as different people, whether it be on online apps or on their social medias in general. And there's a difference between just taking slight angles of your face and then hiding like a whole lot more that you're not seeing on the app, as opposed to literally posting a different physical form of your full self from years and years ago. And then you have to bite your tongue. I've taken 2 hours out of my schedule, and then you're shaking their hand, giving them a hug, whatever, and thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a long 1.5 hours. There's nothing more sapping.
So then what happened after these dates? So these girls have altered their photos or put different ones up there. You're sitting through a date of 1.5, 2 hours. Did you then end the date on that weird, like, I'm not going to say this is great and I'll see you again, but I'll just say thank you?
Yeah. I just said thank you. Yeah, well, one of them, we still had sex anyway, because I don't know, it was kind of good. It was like a bit of porn star chub in the end. I made it work.
Of course you did.
But yeah, the other one, I was a bit like, okay, all right, thanks for the day. And I think we both agreed. I mean, maybe she wasn't impressed with me as well. For all I know, maybe the people are viewing my photos in a different light and think I don't look the same in real life. But for me, I don't feel like I'm being deceitful. I'm not putting any photos that I'm well aware look different to how I present myself in real life. And I just think, I don't know, it just feels a little off to me. I don't want to sound like this superficial guy that thinks I'm, you know, women's prize to be won. But at the same time, don't sell something that you're not on the app, because it's people's time at the end of the day and their weekend.
I kind of feel like it's that there's an article that was going around Facebook, or like a click thing, about girls who have bought prom dresses online, and they show the photo of the dress and then they show the reality of what it looks like, which is completely different. This is exactly that in the dating world. You see the photo of what you think you're buying, or in this case, taking out the date, and then in reality, it's completely different. Would you have bought that dress, or would you have gone on a date with that person if what reality was the photo that was online?
Yeah.
Probably not.
It's very true. I remember hairdressers, they feel that problem all the time. A lot of hairdressers feel that a girl will go in asking for a haircut like a celebrity, and the woman then complains about the haircut afterwards, because they were sort of under the impression that would then make them look as hot as that celebrity.
Okay, we all know that Kim Kardashian is just not applicable in terms of trying for looks.
Well, she does have a symmetrical face. It's very much to be acknowledged. Thank you so much, Dr. Nikki Goldstein. I've seen photos of you. I've seen videos of you. I've even seen you from a distance in 3D form. And you look exactly the same on all platforms. Congrats on the beauty.
Oh, great. Thank you. I try and be as honest as I can. I even went on TV once with no hair, no makeup.
Right next to Larry Emder, who's got a whole cake full of makeup on. Jesus.
No, not next to Larry Emder, but I did do it next to another TV host. And I was in jeans and a T-shirt, and it felt great to be able to say, hey, this is what I look like when I run out of my apartment trying to get milk from the supermarket.
Well, congrats to you. Just don't do it next to Dickie Wilkins, because he looks like a wedding cake mixed with David Bowie.
Oh, I have a thing for Dickie.
I bet you do. Thanks, Dr. Nikki Goldstein. We'll chat next week.
Bye.
Kim, are these phones working out there yet, producer Felix? Because you've been sweating beads down there on the receding hairline of yours. Producer Felix. Hello. What are you doing out there? Hello.
Hello.
Seriously, what was that? What are you doing? Have you fixed the tech lines?
Tech lines are well and truly fixed.
Okay.
And I'm just going through and writing all of the red tape because now I've got a whole bunch of red tape to go through.
So people who wanted to call just before about the curious case of the condom conundrum, they can call again and they're not just going to waste their phone bill and be put on radio silence?
Yep, I had a lovely chat to Ashley who explained what she was hearing, what all the other callers were hearing. So we're all good.
Tech issues have been cleared up. 131060, and we'll get to the bottom of the curious case of the condom conundrum. Next. Right around the country, wakey wakey, it's Danny Lakey, 131060. It's not often we do something like this, but I think it really calls for it. Here's the headline. Mum distraught after she finds condom wrapper in the laundry. Now, keep in mind, this is just the wrapper. There's no condom left behind. This is an open wrapper. It's been sort of torn in half, hanging on by a shoestring. But is it her husband's or one of her two young sons? Well, the mum's at her wit's end. She's taken a mum's nap. She found the condom wrapper in the laundry, just chilling at the bottom after she was putting all the laundry out, after she went on holiday for the weekend. She can't work out if it belongs to the hubby. Oh, jeez, I should hope not. I mean, I'm trying to remain impartial, but I should bloody hope it's not the husband. The 14-year-old son, prime condom experimental age, or the 11-year-old son. Now, the 11-year-old son, I feel, is some sort of wild card here because although he wouldn't be having any use for the condom yet, an 11-year-old boy is curious. He's heard things in the schoolyard. Sometimes when you run into a condom, you definitely have to open it up and just see what it's all about. Now, she's obviously asked. She's sat them all down and said, right, guys, come on, fess up. Who was using or at least looking at the condom? Why is there a condom wrapper in the laundry? Dad says he knows nothing about it. 14-year-old boy says he knows nothing about it. 11-year-old boy says he knows absolutely nothing about it. I mean, the frustration this mum must feel. And she's thought of all things. And Mum's Net, a great breeding ground of hot gossip and who the potential and who the odds-on favourite is of who was using and opening the condom. But, I mean, come on. This is a well-rounded show. Plenty of listeners from pretty different backgrounds. Creeds, sexualities, races, religions. And I thought, I mean, could we? Could we really? Could we really try and solve the curious case of the condom conundrum? 131060, have you had any experience with condoms before? Do you maybe have a couple of teenage boys or a husband yourself? Are you yourself a husband or a boy of some sort who has used a condom before? Anyone who knows anything about the condoms and who we think it could possibly be. Now, I don't want to be speculative here, but I've just drawn up a rough sketch. You've got suspect number one, the dad. I mean, he's got the most to lose in this situation. It doesn't surprise me that if it was him, that he's denied this to the nines. He may be sexually repressed. Speculative, Your Honour. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't know this. Important to stick to the facts here. Let's move to suspect number two, the 14-year-old boy, obviously in prime condom zone. Horny little devil, I would say. Whether or not he's using the condom, speculative again, Your Honour. Yeah, that's true. But very curious at the same time. And then the 11-year-old. Curious and experimental as well. Probably just before his sexual arousal peaks. I wouldn't imagine he's doing anything more than just examining the condom at this point in time. And you've got to think, as an 11-year-old, not really knowing how little of a deal really in the real world a condom is, He may not realise yet that it's perfectly fine to be experimenting at that age and to come forward. And there could be embarrassment at play here. That's why no suspects are completely owning up to the madness, or it could be something a little more sinister, some sort of sordid midlife crisis affair. We just don't know at this point in time. 13 10 60, could we maybe solve the curious case of the condom conundrum? 13 10 60, if you'd like to chime in, whose condom is it? Who opened the wrapper, guys? 13 10 60, the dad, the 14-year-old, or the 11-year-old? Calls next. Around the country on 13 10 60, embroiled in one of the biggest scandals to hit Mumsnet in years. It's the curious case of the condom conundrum. For those who just joined in, you would have missed the story just before. A mum is distraught after she's found a condom wrapper in the laundry and in the actual washing machine. But her husband nor one of her two young sons have admitted to knowing anything about the condom. Now, there's three suspects as far as I can see here. And nothing would drive a woman up the wall more than being on holiday for a weekend away with her lady friends, coming back to realise that some sort of debauchery, or at the very least, a condom wrapper has been opened in her very own house. I mean, can we get to the bottom of this? Mumsnet's gone wild for it. Plenty of theories, plenty of conspiracies out there. But on 13 10 60, could we as a nation crack the code of the curious case of the condom conundrum? 13 10 60, Bianca in Melbourne. Welcome to you, suspect number one. Constable Danny Lakey here, just trying to piece together some of the puzzle. Hopefully we can solve this. What's your theory?
So, my theory is that she possibly brought it home with her, not realising.
Wow.
I feel like maybe her little getaway could have turned into something, you know, a lot more than she expected.
Wow. So I'm shell-shocked. This is some sort of bombshell. And to be honest, I almost feel this is too early in the case to be dropping massive bombs like this. Nonetheless, we've taken a swift turn. Suspect number four, the mother. I didn't even
the
think
mother,
of
the mother, yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. I feel it, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Now, my only qualms with this is, say, I'd like to put on the record here, speculative, Your Honour. Let's say the mum did stray away while she was on a ladies' weekend. Too many Shirazes at the vineyard and some hot man sort of came and swept her off her feet and was giving things that the husband hasn't been able to provide for a good 20 years and 3 months. Now, why would she then have to bring it up? If she's accidentally brought the condom home and it's been in the washing machine, she's found it. Why can she not just get rid of the condom straight away, just chuck it in the recycling bin and never speak of it ever again? Why would she need to bring it up?
Well, see, this is where I think that she could have even been, you know, that drunk that possibly she couldn't have even remembered, because a lot of that can happen, you know? And she maybe brought it home with her own washing, completely not even remembering that this all happened, and now she's accusing people when it could have been her.
Goodness me. Imagine having that many Shirazes that you couldn't even remember the affair you had. Thanks, Bianca.
Jesus, we've added
a full suspect to the mix. Jack in Wangaratta on 13 10 60. You've heard suspect one just before. I mean, what do you think?
Mate, I think the mother's got nothing to worry about. I think the 14-year-old boy, just doing a bit of experimenting. He's at that age.
Yeah.
He's putting the old condom on, have a look at it, puts it on the old fella and, has a bit of fun and there's no mess, you know, and he's forgotten to take the wrapper out of his pocket. You know, I'm a bit positive, so I just think that's probably the easiest thing.
Look, it's typical schoolboy behaviour. It's definitely a valid theory for sure. And usually, I mean, in all my experience with investigating these sort of curious condom cases, when it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck in this scenario. Yeah, I tend to agree.
Absolutely.
You know, put a little red flag next to this 14-year-old, and I'll let him know that he is prime suspect number one. Thank you, Jack.
Look, I think it's that way. Okay. That's for sure.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Matt in Wagga Wagga, 13 10 60. What do you think?
Hey, big dog. Right. I see 11-year-old mate.
Oh, wow. The youngest of the troop.
Yeah.
What do you think about these?
They start young these days, mate.
They do start young. I mean, they breed them differently these days. And I must admit, when I first read the case report, I thought, 11-year-old, too young. Don't bring him into the court system. This may traumatise him for life. Is there really enough here to be put in front of the courts? But, I do agree with you. They're getting younger and younger these days. I had a D&M in Amsterdam with my younger brother. Yeah. And he said that he managed to first run into a condom in an experimental phase when he was 9 years old. I almost spat out my mushroom soup.
You need to work on your pull-out game, mate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was a late bloomer. That's the thing. But I have to be impartial. Didn't manage to fire off my first one until my 15th birthday, thanks to the October edition of the FHM magazine. Glossy cover. I'm a textures man. Thank you. It's interesting. Cheers, Paddy. Good on you. Ashley in Canberra. What do you think? What's your theory?
I think the mum has absolutely nothing to worry about.
And it wasn't on the agenda until someone rang up. I have to add that to the list of suspects. That's all. It wasn't on my radar. I definitely didn't think of that. I don't think the mum's got anything to worry about either.
Nah, because I reckon the 11-year-old, most likely, if not maybe the 14-year-old, depends on if he's a late bloomer, got curious about his body and went, Dad, things are happening. And then the dad's gone, well, time to teach you about the birds and the bees, and has got the condom wrapper to teach the son.
Yeah, only two things I'll say about that. One, I don't appreciate the late blooming comment, because I managed to push myself over the edge for the first time as a 15-year-old, so 14 isn't a late bloomer by any stretch. And secondly, I just feel if that was the true case, the father would be able to tell the mother that. I mean, in secrecy, in private. I mean, not in the meeting room, in the lounge room with all three. Sometimes fathers can have secrets with their sons, but then, you know, between the bed sheets and the pillow talk, like, hey, babe, it was just me teaching the 14-year-old the birds and the bees. I feel a man would say that to clear his name, because now there's all shrouded in a mystery of a secret affair. It doesn't make any sense, surely.
Well, that's a valid point as well, definitely.
Yes. I'd appreciate if you didn't talk about my client like that. Again, scandalous remarks. No, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a point to be brought forward. Daniel in Bendigo, 131060. What do you think about the curious case of the condom conundrum?
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum, but they're all good suspects. But I reckon it's the 11-year-old. I reckon he's having a bit of a play around with what he think might be a bit of a toy.
Now, what separates the 11-year-old being guilty as opposed to the 14-year-old? Do you think the 14-year-old's mature enough to admit that it was him, whereas the 11-year-old is a couple of years his junior and hasn't got the maturity to fess up just yet?
I think that might be the case. I don't think the 14-year-old, I definitely wasn't talking about that kind of stuff with my parents at that age, but I reckon the 11-year-old just picked it up and got a bit nervous and, you know, decided to take it out and play in the sun, playing with water bombs.
Yeah, oh, right, yeah, might not even be experimenting in the genital area, just sort of using the inflatable and the stretchy latex as some sort
juvenile
prank.
That's it. Me and my at school, fill them up with throwing, they just wouldn't break, so you kept on throwing them at each other.
That's true. Quickly put the condom wrapper back in the pocket. Next thing, the school shorts are in the wash. Next thing, condom wrapper at the bottom of the laundry. Yeah, checks out. Checks out.
Just might have forgot about it.
Thank you, Daniel. Last call, Zach from Mackay on 131060. It has brought up a little point as far as the maturity goes of someone fessing to sort of sexual objects found in the laundry. Went to a blue light disco once, and my mum, a couple of days later, pulled me aside and said, Daniel, do you know anything about this stocking in the laundry? And I was a little bit afraid to admit, and she said, because if it's not your stocking, your father's been up to no good. And I said, it's my stocking. It was my friend's from the blue light disco, and she just sort of gave it to me. We were mucking around with stuff. Do you want to throw my father under the bus? That's the loyalties I have. Zach and Mackay, what do you think? Wrap this up on 131060. We're very close to cracking this case.
Mate, I reckon it's the 14-year-old.
The 14, that's where I think it goes as well. I think the 14-year-old has the most sort of gambits next to him. Sexually curious. A lot of juvenile mates and, you know, puberty ranges in different, anywhere from 10 years old right through to 15 years old on your 15th birthday.
I mean, yeah, well, we're in a sexual age, so to speak. Yeah. Like, it's easier to find sex than it is to find love.
Very true.
And, like, kids are getting younger and younger these days. Mm. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, you go around to a high school, do a survey, you'll find kids in year 8 are having sex these days.
You've been to the high school doing the surveys?
What's it? No.
Who's doing these surveys? I hope they've got a lanyard.
But if you want to think logically, wouldn't the wife know the condoms that the husband uses?
Maybe. I mean, I think if she's in a loving relationship, they threw the condoms out years ago, maybe. But you never know. It's speculative, Your Honor. Speculative. I apologise. I think it's the 14-year-old. I'm with you. Cheers. Thank you, Zach.
Cheers.
Thank you. It's Danny Lakey around the country on 131060. How's this for a story? Now, I'm not that experienced in like having to be by a woman's bedside as she gives birth, but I'm aware of the concept of birth, and I had a mother who gave birth to me. And this story, I mean, it blows my mind. I don't know. This could be maybe par for the course. Maybe it's just slightly impressive, or maybe this is unheard of. Not entirely sure, but on 131060, I'd love to know how quickly did you heal after the birth. Almost thought it was a 3-day recovery session at the hospital, and then you get the all clear. Well, how's this for the story? Woman gave birth and then made it to her sister's wedding 5 hours later. What a turnaround. And bridesmaid made it to the sister's wedding. Just 5 hours after giving birth, 27-year-old Emily Chell was her name, went into labour 3 weeks early while staying at a hotel with sister Katie ahead of the big wedding day. Last Saturday, she was rushed to hospital where she gave birth to a boy, Brody, at 7:10 a.m. Instead of relaxing and recovering after the birth, Emily was insistent that she couldn't let her sister down and therefore travelled back to meet her ahead of the ceremony at midday. It's 4 hours 50 minutes. It's a very quick turnaround. Apparently, not only was the mother there back at the wedding, but she also bring the baby. Baby comes 3 weeks early. Within 5 hours, it's out of the hospital. Husband as well, all ready to watch the wedding. Jeez, I mean, I don't know enough about the birthing process, but I'd imagine she, obviously given the all clear, I don't know how much of a struggle was put up with the doctors, nurses and midwives going, well, I don't think that's very safe. 5 hours? Can you bounce back? Is it possible? I mean, the stitching and the patchwork must have been amazing. Some craftsmanship must have been involved for sure. I always thought you were on your ass for at least 24 to 48 hours in hospital afterwards. I always thought there was some sort of law. Obviously not. 5 hours from birth back to the wedding aisle. Congratulations on her. Speedy recovery. A 27-year-old. Man, yeah, that's average birthing age, I'm assuming. I wonder if she had any kids before that. Was she used to it? Sometimes they say maybe a speedy labour and you recover better the second or third time around. Who knows? Well, I mean, I know there are people out there that know on 131060, and that's exactly why I'm asking the question and not just doing some sort of rave. 5 hours. How quickly did you heal after the birth? And you bounce back. Is this 5-hour business unheard of? Or is that about par for the course? Always thought it was 3 days. Always thought I'd be a 3-day man. Always thought I'd have a 3-day wife. Always thought we'd be a 3-day mother and father. But I digress. 131060. How quickly did you bounce back after the birth? Call's on next. Danny Lakey around the country, 131060 on Twitter and Instagram as well. At Wakey, it's Lakey. A woman gave birth and then made it back to her sister's wedding in a record time of 4 hours and 50 minutes. Yeah, it was hanging out with the sister, preparing for the big day. Wakes up that morning, starts feeling the contractions, goes to the hospital 3 weeks early. A baby is delivered at 7:10 a.m. and she's back at the ceremony at midday. I mean, I've done the maths. It checks out there. Checks out. But Paul in Caboolture on 131060, I did say, how quickly did you heal after the birth? I always thought it was a 48 to 72 hour sort of period. You say impossible. Now, when you say impossible, are you talking about the actual recovery of the woman who's given the birth, or more you realise where the wedding was and where the hospital was and realise that it's not possible and the drive doing it in that time?
No, all I'm talking about getting out of hospital and going to a wedding 4 hours later. I mean, okay, of course it can be possible, but remarkable.
Okay, good. I mean, because producer Felix wrote in capital letters, possible, and I thought, wow, let's focus on the possible. And Paul played a straight bat. Is that remarkable is more the word I'd use.
Very true indeed.
And I mean, Richard from New South Wales, he's next on the line, and he says his wife went to hospital and within 4 hours was back at home, proving indeed it is possible and proving indeed it would be remarkable. Bloody remarkable.
Bloody remarkable, Daddy.
Now it is. Do you have a wife? Has she given birth before? And what was the standard cooling off period for her?
Yeah, 5 children, mate. First one, 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I remember. Brother. That's what I remember from my mum, because I got 2 younger brothers and they're quite a bit younger. So I was like 10 or so when I was in the hospital. And I remember thinking, oh, when's the baby coming home? When do I get to see the baby at home? Like, I don't want to see the baby in the hospital. Get it home. Let me play with the baby. And yeah, it seemed about 2 or 3 days was the thing. Is it less recovery time the more babies you have, or more, or the same?
That depends what recovery you're talking about.
Yeah, I see. And how big the baby is, I'm guessing. Is it now? I'm not being silly here, but is there always stitching that needs to be done after a birth?
No.
No? Okay. Oh, good. I don't know.
Sometimes. It depends on the woman's anatomy.
Yeah. Okay, all right, cool. I didn't know if it was a 100% stitch rate.
Not a 100% stitch rate, mate.
Okay. Optional stitching or a lucky dip stitch afterwards.
It's an unfortunate stitch.
Oh, my heart goes down to anyone who's needed it. I mean, that's the last thing you need after giving birth, not through all that, to just have a stitching on top of that.
Once they push them out, they don't really care what happens.
Yeah, really? The euphoria, maybe? Some sort of birthing high? I mean, it's very awkward, the pull from Caboolture and Danny Lakey, who doesn't have any experience of this, just sort of writing the rule book for births around the country. Yeah, sounds about right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Cheers for the call.
You did good work, mate. See ya.
Thank you. Richard in New South Wales. I mean, Paul thinks your wife, if what you say is true, is absolutely remarkable. You reckon your wife was in, out, done, back at home within 4 hours?
Yeah, correct, Lakey. Morning anyway. So with our second child, we virtually started getting those contractions in the morning, and we took off to the hospital, and within about 2 hours, she'd given birth, and pretty much, within about an hour or 2 hours after giving birth, we said that we wanted to go, but she wasn't allowed to leave the hospital until she'd gone to the toilet. They just wanted to make sure that she went to the toilet and all the insides are all perfect.
Yeah, right.
And as soon as she went to the toilet, they just pushed her straight out, gone.
Goodness
gracious. We were home within 4 hours. We turned up and all our neighbours were like, what are you doing? Like, you couldn't have given birth that quick. Like, no way.
Wow. In fact, I go one more than remarkable. I'd say incredible. I'd say it beggars belief is what I'd say.
Well, everything was went smoothly during birthday, Lakey. So there was no problems. There was no problems with the baby, anything like that. So as soon as she went to the toilet, we were able to go straight away. So it worked out good for us because we didn't want to be at the hospital anyway.
No, well, no one does. No one wants to be. And I've had doctor's appointments that go longer than your bloody birthing session. That's insane. The 4 hours. Dan, normal baby, small baby, obviously. I mean, I wouldn't expect any stitching.
Yeah, no, not for the second one. For the first one, we were in hospital for maybe 6 hours afterwards, and I was stitching then. But, this time it was virtually straight in, straight out.
Oh, my God. What did you give birth to? A chickpea? For goodness sake. It's incredible.
Very eager to come into this world, you know.
Oh, yeah.